Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Greetings.
Hello.
Today we're going to be playing Evolution, designed by Dominic Crapuchette of Evolution Climate, Oceans, Wits, and Wits and Wagers. Dimitri Nore of Evolution Climate, and then Sergei Mashin of Evolution Climate. It is developed by Dominic Crapuchette, David Lipman, Luke Warren, and Andrew Chen. The artist, the main artist is Catherine Hamilton of Evolution series, I'm just going to say. Additional art is by JJ Arosa of Roleplayer Mice and Mystics, Summoner Wars and its expansions, and Giorgio DiMichele. It's graphic design. Wow, they list everybody out. Good job. Graphic design is by Jacoby O'Connor of Age of Empires 3, the Evolution series, and Raccoon Tycoon. It's published in 2014 by North Star Games. The description is, our planet is teeming with life. There are over 8 million unique species on Earth. Darwin suggests this incredible biodiversity shares a common ancestry. Animals better adapted to their environment are more likely to survive and pass on traits of their offspring. Over millions of generations, this iterative process of natural selection leads to an astonishing variety of life on our planet. Welcome to Evolution.
Evolution.
The mechanics are action points, hand management, push your luck, secret unit deployment, simulation, simultaneous action selection, and take that. The box art is a very colorful iguana with some lemurs in the background.
Would you say this is watercolor?
Maybe. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell in the box.
Nailed it. Do iguanas have horns?
It's iguana-ish. It's based on an iguana. They've added some flair to it.
Then you got like meerkat.
Lemurs.
Predecessors.
Lemurs.
Some marsupials up there.
Still lemurs.
Oh. Lemurs are in trees? I thought lemurs were on the ground. I don't know anything about animals, apparently.
Apparently not. Maybe we all have a chance at this game.
If you guess the ones in the background, those are more open to interpretations. That looks like a cat snail, I think, in the over by that lake. Yeah, so based on all this, would you pull it off a shelf, BP?
I mean, the mechanics sounded fairly interesting. Some push your luck, some take that, secret unit deployment. That's about it.
Kiwi?
I've wanted to play this for a while. It's one of those ones that I've heard a lot about, and so I've been interested to play. So yeah, I would pick it up.
Yeah, me too. Evolutionary theory was one of my favorite classes. And I think this box art is, it's eye-catching. I think it would jump out at you. Like the colors are, I feel like, pretty unique for board game. All right. How do we think it's played?
I don't know. There was not a lot given in the description.
All right. So we're going to have, I guess the big question is, do we start with like an animal and we just work with one animal?
I don't know.
Or is it like group?
Like there's no objective in the description, so it's really hard.
Right, I'm saying you get one animal. Like, I've got a horned iguana.
And you have to try to get it to survive against other animals.
Yeah, and you've got
animals.
Cat snail. And our animals are competing with one another. We got hands of cards. I bet hands are different, like, upgrades you can do to get out your animal. You know, you might get big feet or a tail, right? That's going to be your hand.
Push your luck. Maybe you don't want to develop your animal too much because then you overdevelop it.
Yeah, you overgear your animal.
And it's too specialized.
Yeah, or it can't do anything well. Like you give it like treads and wings, a giant head, and it can't fly because it falls over because its head is too big.
What about secret unit deployment?
I don't know. I have no idea. We secretly deploy its tail. So maybe it's not unit, it'll be parts. Secret
or,
part.
Or,
of-
well, I just keep thinking of the, I know climate is their spinoff of this, but like, I mean, obviously the dinosaurs lost out because of climate change, right?
Allegedly.
I mean, it's true. I wasn't back there, but I'm pretty sure like paleontologists have like taken care of this. There's going to be a secret unit, like an asteroid coming in or a rover.
Okay. Yeah.
Rover.
Yeah. I'm on board with the rover plan.
Are you still excited about the Perseverance's landing yesterday? All right.
I'm pretty excited for this game now. All right. History. Okay, Darwin, let's go.
obviously evolutionary type theories were very much discussed well before even Darwin, going all the way back to early Greek classics, further kind of forwarded in the even the early church period, so late antiquity and medieval period, by people who were very into Aristotle and all of these ideas about what was, right, an essence, natural theology. Some pushback during the Reformation period, and scientific revolutionary period as, right, these ideas kind of challenged. I mean, when you think about evolution and you think about like the origin of species and where things come from and natural selection, it kind of takes out some of the human focusedness, right, of the understanding of the world. So there was, right, some pushback on that to a certain extent. But by the 19th century, Darwin's theories, and again, kind of coming out of the Enlightenment with that focus on empirical evidence being used, Darwin's theories were much more widely accepted, even though they were still pretty radical for the time period. And I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to get into all of the things, but I mean, pretty groundbreaking for the time, even though, again, even well into the 20th century was challenged. I keep thinking of the Scopes trial, for instance, right, in the 1920s in the U.S. that really continued to challenge, right, the theory of evolution and its place in our educational system. So that was my very brief history, because I stumble over science history sometimes. You could have probably done a much better job.
I mean, I like it a lot. I don't know that I can talk about it well, but
Okay, so the goal of evolution is to thrive in the midst of ever-changing ecosystem where food is scarce and predators lurk over the course of 5 to 7 rounds. You will get points for feeding your species, increasing their population, and evolving them to best ensure their survival. At the end of the game, you'll get points for food your species has eaten during the game, population of your surviving species, and trait cards on their surviving species.
So we missed the food option.
Right.
Okay.
The first player is randomly chosen, but we got some fun ones. Last to ride a dinosaur, last to see some dinosaur bones, last to do a biology class. That would be interesting.
Not me.
It's probably Erica, actually. So, yeah.
How about most evolved?
Oh, well.
It would be Kiwi. It would be Kiwi.
Wait, why would it be me?
Because you have a kid.
I'll go first.
I mean, just, not the most evolved, but the most continuing evolution.
All right. So each round is broken into 5 phases. So the first phase, we're going to deal cards. If a player does not have a species board, you're going to give them one. And then deal each player 3 cards plus 1 for each species board they have. If the draw deck runs out, this signals the final round. Phase 2, select food. Each player selects a trait card from their hand and puts it face down in the center. These will be revealed during the feeding phase to determine the amount of plant food available in the round. So at the bottom of each trait card is a little like plant icon that tells you how much plant food we will put in the center during the feeding phase.
Why are they all herbivores?
They're not.
Okay.
Just each trait card will have
plant,
that little plant icon at the bottom. Then we're going to play cards. So in turn order, players play as many or as few trait cards as they want. There is no hand limit. Every player will get 1 turn during the phase. There are 3 things a player can do with their trait cards. They can place it face down above one of their species. A species may not have duplicates and may not have more than 3 trait cards. A player may remove a trait card from any of their species and put it face up in the discard pile in order to make room for another trait, or because it may no longer be advantageous. Or they can discard it face up to the discard pile to start a new species. The new species must be placed to the left or right, not between existing species because there's trait cards that will affect like, hey, left or right. And then discard a trait and the last thing you can do is you could discard a trait card face up to increase the body size or population of one of your species by one. The fourth phase is reveal food. So we're going to check to see if any traits activate prior to revealing food. It'll have like a little stack of cards with an arrow icon in the top left. And then it'll have text on the card as well. So we'll activate those. And then the first player then flips all the cards in the center of the table, adds up the food numbers on the bottom right, and puts that many food cubes in the center of the table. The cards are then moved to the discard. And then finally, the feeding phase. So in turn order, players will feed one species at a time from food in the center of the table. This continues until all species are fed or no food is left. Food is placed on the food track on the species board and can never be above the population count. Obviously, a species with the carnivore trait never eats plant food. Carnivores will attack other animals if they are hungry, if their body size is greater than the species being attacked, and they have traits that can overcome traits of the attacked species. The target then lowers their population by one, and the carnivore gains meat food equal to the target's body size.
Wow. That's going to be fun.
All right. At the end of the feeding phase, any population that is not fed for each species dies. Mm-hmm. So lower the population count. Then any food from species boards are returned to the food bank. Food in the center of the table remains. So we could potentially have food that carries over into later rounds. If the draw deck ran out in phase one, then the game is over. If the population of a species is reduced to zero, it goes extinct. Discard the trait cards. And the owner draws one card for each discarded. Discard the species board and any food on the board behind their food screen. If the species was between two species, then you close the gap. So between on the table, basically. At the end of the game, players will get 1 point for each food behind their food screen. Each surviving species gets points based on its population, and each trait card on a surviving species is worth 1 point. The player with the most points is the winner. Tie goes to the player with the most trait cards played and then to the player with the most population points. Then the rulebook says if it's still tied, immediately order a pizza, either a meat lover's or a vegetarian, and then play again.
Yay! Well, let's play.
We just finished a game of Evolution. To recap, BP had 68 Darwin points. Kiwi and I both tied with 72 Darwin points, and Kiwi won the tiebreaker with more trait card points. Winning strategy, Kiwi.
I tried carnivores. That didn't seem to work out because I think we did kind of discussed it during the game. Like you really have to set that up. You have to kind of evolve into a carnivore. So I just had to try to have a couple of species. And then like, I was going to say turtle up, which is a video game terminology for like just going into a spot and just sitting there and using defensive abilities. Cause I really did. Everything had a hard shell for a while. So I just tried to find cards that would like work together.
I started with like a high population one that was giving me points. Then I tried the carnivore thing, mixed success. I think it worked better than the other carnivores, but,
personally, I will say that it worked.
Yeah. I mean, it got some attacks, yeah,
it did eat a number of yours.
I think had the game continued, I would have lost. Like, I think a lot of my points, I mean, I did lose, but I meant, you know, it worse. It's a little tricky to play carnivores, I felt like.
Yeah.
Well, you took out my species B.
I feel like I got to the point that like you had a lot more defensive abilities with only three trait cards and one of them has to be the carnivore card. Like it's kind of tricky to overcome all the different defenses. And I felt like the pack hunter was too strong to not have. Otherwise the shells were too good. And so like had you guys started playing like climbings or you guys both played an ambush card and that really limited my targets. And like, so BP was unattackable at the end and I only had one target on Kiwi. There's a lot of defenses that are kind of hard to overcome that I think.
Well, so I don't know. Did you ever see the intelligence card, Eric?
No.
So BP and I had that one. So it had two options. So for carnivores, you could discard a card from your hand and ignore a defensive trait of your target.
Okay. Or if you had the ambush trait.
Well, yeah, and but then, if I had gotten ambushed, I would have to lose some of the other ones. So it's like, I mean, as we, we'll get into the theme, but like, I think that was good. But I do think it's, I had I just stuck with high population herbivores, I would have won, I think. I think going carnivore was fun, but I think it was the weaker strategy.
I mean, the one good thing that carnivore had for you is you didn't have to pull from the watering hole, the food in the center. You were able to pull from the food bank. So there was always food. So at the end, like, we always had food in the food bank because you were a carnivore.
But I was also playing zero adding to the pool. So I could have just played higher numbers there and had enough food.
Also true. Yeah. Which I think is what BP and I were doing towards the end. We had herbivores with large.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just knew I wanted to feed my huge populations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting balance, but I think the game wouldn't be very fun if nobody went carnivore, but I'd be curious to know the win rate of carnivore strategy because it seemed a little bit rougher.
And this will come out in the rules part, but I think the game also went a little bit longer than it normally would have, and I think that also went against us in that regard also.
What did you think of the theme?
I definitely felt like I was trying to get species going and losing them.
Yeah, and I felt like there was definitely an evolution. I had my little burrower that was like, it turned into a turtle, and then it turned into like not a turtle.
Well, yeah, I took the climbing feature away from mine once to give it,
So I like that feature, like, hey, you can only have so many traits on your thing, and so you have to replace things. So that definitely like felt like, because you had the one that was fertile, and so I think you got rid of fertile to make it climbing, and it's like, oh, it realized as a species that there was too many and it needed to get away from predators. So it learned how to climb.
And then, with the carnivore is like a constant game of like, okay, I started with climbing because there were some climbing cards out there so I could catch them. But then those cards went away because it was not helping them defensively. So then I could get rid of my climbing and do something else. So it's definitely like a game of like, you know, trying to keep up and counter and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought the theme was pretty strong, and I felt like
and then for just the fun like thing of like, oh, you have a long neck turtle, and you've got, you know, a burrowing boar, things like that. It's just kind of like trying to make the traits into like a species, thematically. Yeah, I like that table presence.
I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, especially the big meeple, but the boards were really cool. Although there was a lot going on the one where you drew the cards that I just didn't feel, but maybe that was because expansions?
I think that's a tabletop simulatorism.
Okay, because I don't know what that was supposed to be doing. But it seemed cool. And the cards were pretty clear. I mean, it was a little bit busy on the bottom for me. Just, I think, again, maybe it's tabletop or something. Just my eyesight, it was kind of small print sometimes on, like, what their tasks were, but... even going alt, of course, once I could wear my glasses again, I guess that kind of solved that to a certain extent. But the cards were pretty cool. They weren't necessarily always animals, I think, that currently exist. So that was kind of cool as well to see.
Oh, for the art. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's really creative, and like the traits and things kind of give a good idea, both visually of what the actual trait is. I think it stands out with all like the little
and
sideboards
and little discs.
Yeah. And the fact, just like the fact that they're flipboards could have just been a generic food thing, but it's flippable for the meat side and the vegetable side. So it just kind of adds into that whole thing. Yeah.
No, I agree with you guys. I think it would be pretty cool to see like everybody's kind of species laid out. The way the tabletop simulator lays it out on its side. In the rule book, it actually has you laid out, lengthways, so not so that it's skinnier, but it does say in the rule book, like, hey, if you're playing on a table where you don't have enough room, here's a recommended orientation to save room, but you're supposed to be able to play it, and you play your three cards above it, so it kind of all sits in one row. But yeah, I think it would be pretty neat to like see everybody's different species and all that kind of stuff.
Mechanics, Kiwi.
Yeah. So what I was going to bring up for the theme was, is I thought it was pretty cool with the, hey, you can't have duplicates and you can't have more than three traits. So it really did like, you know, hey, my thing is evolving and I'm getting rid of this trait and adding this other trait. So it was interesting and kind of the, you know, if I go carnivore, like when do I do it? You know, how do I go about doing it? So I thought that the mechanics of it kind of played in well. What I thought was interesting was the food supply, and everybody plays a card to add food into it. So you're never really sure how much food you're going to end up with. And like, I knew going into that last round that a bunch of species were not going to get fed as much as they needed. So we're going to lose points that way too. The scores would have been lower had Eric not been a carnivore because he wasn't pulling from the center. And since he was eating stuff, it was lowering the population. Yep. So other species didn't have to take as much. So it's definitely an interesting dynamic, but I thought the mechanics worked well together.
Especially, I feel like it's dependent on the players though. I feel like if we had stuck with nobody going carnivore or trying some and they failed, I don't think it would be as mechanically interesting. Like, I feel like one player just has to like go for it. And I mean, it does encourage you to do that. Cause like you said, in the food in the middle, you're like, well, maybe I should get a carnivore going. But it's kind of a big risk of like, especially because like as we said, you got to put a lot into them to make them successful or else they're going to die right away. So like you got to commit to the carnivore and then it's kind of a big, you know, so it's interesting. Like I'd wonder, because I thought for a while there, I thought we might just end up with all herbivores. And I think that would take a lot away from the game. So I think it works great when you kind of have everybody, you know, when you kind of put all the pieces together, but it does rely on the players to actually like do that.
Yeah. So I think it definitely depends on group. I think that goes in the player interaction too. I think if everybody went herbivore, it'd be minimal because you're affecting the food going in, but adding in the carnivore definitely ups the amount of interaction, but it's going to depend on player group. It's going to depend on cards that come out. Because even if you want to go carnivore, if you don't get the right cards...
Took me an extra round to go carnivore because I didn't have a carnivore card.
The player interaction, if we're going there, because I am talking about that, but I did, because I didn't even look at what anybody had until like near that last round when Eric was attacking things and to try to figure out like how to evolve my remaining species to make them indestructible. Whereas I might not have done that otherwise, you know?
I guess just to finish up planner action. Yeah, I was a pretty minimal, didn't really pay much attention to anybody until I decided to go for a carnivore. And then I spent more time looking at your boards than mine. So I was like pretty focused on exactly what you guys were doing. I was like looking at, okay, he played a face down card. What do I think it's going to replace? Like it made the game much more interactive and much more interesting to me when I had like a carnivore that I was like going for. So, what about the rules and learning the game?
So the rules were, easy. There weren't really examples, but I feel like the rules that it was written well enough. The one thing we did mess up, and it wasn't because the rule book was written poorly. It was because I just messed it up. And I didn't think about it until we were like three or four rounds in. And I was like, man, if this doesn't end because like it doesn't end until the deck is drawn out. Like if we only take three cards at a time, it's going to take forever. So I double checked the rule book and it was supposed to be three cards plus one for each species board you had. And that would have ended it a lot sooner. And then the other thing I did was I added there's the base traits and then there's some like more advanced traits. So I added both decks together. Because it said you could in Tabletop Simulator. So that kind of added a few extra rounds as well. Because we went from having like 80 cards to, or like 90 cards to like 100 something cards. So that added a few more rounds as well. Which I don't think I minded. But that was the one thing we really messed up.
I think it ended at a pretty good length. Maybe a couple turns earlier would have. You know, you kind of want it to end right when you get going is like the sweet spot. And I think that would have been about a turn ago. But it was still interesting because of the whole, what are you guys going to do? What am I going to change? But from the learning side, I would say just based on the number of species in the graveyard, it does take some learning. Like, I had to watch a few carnivores fail before I attempted mine that actually succeeded. So I'd say that's the biggest learning curve, is like figuring out how to learning how to make a viable species from the get-go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just a couple rounds though. But I am curious about one question on the rules that we had, and maybe we'll find out later, is the pack hunting versus the defensive herding.
Oh yeah, I was gonna look at. So for those who aren't familiar, the pack hunting for the carnivore, you have to have a species that has a body size that's bigger than your target. Pack hunting allows you to add your body size and population in order to figure that out. Whereas defensive herding, the carnivore also had to have a bigger population. So BP had a species with population 6, which means you would have had to have a population of 7 to have greater. But it was not, that's not possible because it maxes 6. Yeah. So it's something I will look up later. Because I can't imagine that we are the first person. We're that, the first group that's
pack herding plus the alert would be all you would need, and you could defend everything. Yeah, we talked about player interaction. So would you play it again? I'll go first for once. I would play it again. I'd be curious to see some of the expansions. Maybe they. Well, I'd want to play again just to, you know, try it out and see like how the carnivore works and that kind of thing. And then I'd be curious if some of the expansions maybe like make that interact, because that was the most interesting thing to me, was like making a carnivore and then looking at the fences and then figuring out how to overcome them and then what's changing. Like, that was the fun part. And then if more expansions just build on that, I think it'd be fun. So I think it's a tricky game, probably takes the right group, but yeah.
Yeah. So the two expansions are Flight, which adds flight. It eats based on its body size as opposed to population, but its body size is limited to 3. And we're talking,
it could be that giant, like a giant bird.
Yeah. And you can discard certain cards in order to negate some of the defenses, and Warning Call was one of those defenses. You have to spend more cards to make a flying species, mm-hmm. basically. So instead of discarding one, you discard 2. And then the other is climate. So the climate, the weather will get hotter or colder based on how much food is in the watering hole. And then there are traits to overcome, like lots of heat and lots of cold. And so the climate will shift. And so it will affect the food in the watering hole and some other stuff. And you draw more cards, basically. So those are the expansions. So BP, would you play it again?
I'm going to go with Kiwis, probably interested. Sure, I'd play it again. I don't know that it's like, you know, I'm ready to like run out and it's my favorite game like every Friday night. But I'd give it another go.
Kiwi?
Yeah, I think it was on par with what I expected. And I had a lot of fun playing it. I would definitely play it again. I think with Eric, I agree. Like, I'd like to do the base game one more time to see, like, because I didn't make a carnivore, so I'd like to try and make a carnivore as well. But the expansions do sound interesting as well, like having the climate affect things. Like, that seems, I feel like that would be the first thing I would want to add, and then add flight after that. But it does seem, it was cool, and I liked it.
That's Evolution.
If you have any recommendations you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. The Podcasting Camel says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games. That was the camel who survived Kiwi's evolution, because I read the whole thing verbatim.
She read it verbatim while giving me the finger. So my cooperative turtle is no longer cooperative. He has grown horns, and my burrower is now a turtle.
You're you're fucking burrowing. You have one giant burrowing horned pig.